to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they do it all over there. You can get your equipment fixed. You can buy new stuff. You can buy parts. They do it all. Give them a call, 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And since we live in California,
you can buy a generator. Yeah, they are also a Honda generator dealer. Got lots of that in stock. So pretty much any shape or size or power you want, they've got it on the floor.
They've even got wheels built in, some of them.
Yeah, some of them do.
And you don't have to pull a rope on a lot of them. So if you're thinking, oh, but I can't pull the rope, you have a little key that starts it.
Yeah.
A little rope.
Boom. Yeah.
A little rope backup.
Yep.
So you have a lot of choices. Don't sit in the dark. Well, actually, it's not so much the dark for me. It's not the dark I'm worried about. It's, basically sweating to death.
you lose your AC this time of year. You're
terrifying
good for about an
part.
Hour.
Pretty soon, it's like, is it smoky inside or is it smoky outside?
What's the number of that little hotel over there on the corner? We need a room.
Oh, you mean the one that's full of all the people who's, you know, firemen and the house that burned down and whatever?
Yeah.
So anyway, people who, what is it? If you don't prepare or plan, you plan to fail, or I don't know, something about that. Okay, I'm tired. I'm tired. I might not be my smartest today, but we will certainly do our level best. The good part is we have smart people coming on with us, so we don't have to worry about our tiredness and our Marge Simpson voice. It appears to be really developing here.
That's smoke quality right there.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. So you can find everything about the show. I forgot to do that part at wethepeopleradio.us. And you can use .net, .biz, .info. You can use other ones. They all go the same place. .us is short and direct. .com, however, belongs to some knucklehead who's not using it. So don't do that one. That's a loser. But we've got shows dating back like 10 years, and all the archives are no charge to listen to. They're just MP3 files, so they're really simple. You don't have to have any download any weird programs or get spied on or any of that. You could put them on your little workout thing and listen to them when you're on a walk or do whatever you like.
You could download them to your podcast.
They say that on Coast to Coast all the time. I download them to my podcast. We laugh about that. It's terrible. You're almost half asleep, and then all of a sudden that lady comes on. You know what she's going to say, and then you're wide awake again laughing. That's why we do our show during the day, because we don't want to keep people awake at night.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's it. That's totally how we had it figured out. So our guest the first hour is Myron Magnet. We have had him on before. He is super interesting. Wrote a terrific book about Justice Clarence Thomas and the Lost Constitution. We did that in, oh my gosh, June of last year, and then also in September. We haven't talked to him in a really long time. That is totally wrong. He is a prize-winning author, so not only did he write a book, but, you know, it's a prize-winning book. And he's a journalist and editor-at-large of the City Journal, and he previously served as the editor of the City Journal and a member of the board of editors of Fortune magazine. So he's not just some guy, and we've actually never met him. I don't even know where he lives. He lives somewhere in a faraway land, and by the miracle of telephone.
Well, he has another book, too.
Oh, yeah. And we're kind of talking about that today, I think.
Yeah.
The Founders at Home, The Building of America, 1735 to 1817. And I'll tell you what, the whole founding fathers education part, I can't do too much on that these days. Mr. Magnet, are you hiding in there?
I am so happy to hear your voice. You know, I've been thinking about what life is like there, so... You know, in this apocalyptic year, 2020,
oh, Lord, yes.
Where every plague that can happen has been happening, I'm talking to you from New York, so we've got our own particular plague.
Yeah, you've got the locust, you're on locust alert, too.
We got the locusts, yeah. And so what's the story where you are?
Do you have
ash coming out of the sky?
Oh, yeah.
But you do.
Not like when our town burned down a couple of years ago, and one of my coworkers got up in the morning and went outside, and there was a half-burned page of a book in her front yard that had blown there.
Oh,
It's like, okay, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It blew out of somebody's, what was left of their house. So
miles,
we're not
miles away.
Not exactly having that, but, you know, you've got all the climate change people, of course, because it's all being caused by climate change. And in about, I don't know, 14 seconds, you can explain. You know, I ask people all the time, like, do you know how to build a campfire? Just like a campfire, you know, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you put a little paper, some leaves, some, you know, some pine needles or whatever, or something little. I go, so not just a log and a match, right? No, log and a match. And so then they go through, like, how you step up the fuels, right? And it's like, okay, now make that multiples of thousands of acres and then light the paper on the bottom and the pine, and the pine needles.
There you are. That half-burned page will do it.
Yep.
Right?
It's a very predictable outcome when you let those forests grow like that.
Like that, and, you know, and you get crazy people all over. So I hear that they're discovering arsonists there. But I also hear that some of these fires have been started by lightning.
Well, of course. Like, I mean, 2,500 lightning strikes up on the Klamath National Forest and other places is nothing new. But, you know, the other one? The other one we're not going to talk about, not we, but, you know, we at large. The one that they don't want to talk about is the illegal cartel dope growing operations out in the national forests.
Oh, I had no idea. That's never reported.
Oh, we're totally knee-deep in this. I mean, up in one of our counties, we have... Now, this is in the high desert, kind of subdivision-type ground, but not a subdivision like you would think of.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so they had this huge influx of Hmong and Chinese gang members, and then, of course, all the... you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Russian?
No, yeah, well, there's the Russian cartel, but they're not indentured servants, but human traffic. People that are being human trafficked that are the worker bees. There's like
good heavens.
Yeah, this is a county with 27,000 voters, okay? There are 6,000 to 8,000 cartel members just in this one area. And
but are there Latin American cartels too?
Okay, depending on where you are, because there's no all and there is no never, but a lot of that is has been out in the public lands. So out in the public lands, that's been pretty prevalent. But the chemicals, the you know, just all the things that you're not allowed to have, you know, that were banned 50s.
So you've got like a mini Beirut all over Northern California.
Oh yeah,
just waiting for a spark to set it off.
One of the dope grows, the illegal dope grows, is up by Slater Ridge in Siskiyou County, and the big fire that just burned down the little town of Happy Camp and Indian Creek right in there, they've got several fatalities with that. It's a little spot, like way off the beaten path, and
And what are they growing there, Aaron?
Marijuana.
No kidding.
Oh, tons of it. Oh, yeah, you legalize it and then no one will grow it illegally. Oh, wait, no, wait. You legalize it and then just massive amounts of illegal growing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that Slater Ridge fire was started by, they think.
It was right up by a well-known illegal cartel grow. So, but the place where they have the, you know, you can see it from the road. You can see it from the roadway right at the base of Mount Shasta there. And plus or minus like 3,000 greenhouses in this one area. And most of it's being grown outside the greenhouses, so you can get an idea. You know, a lot of automatic weapons.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, it's terrifying.
But these aren't your, pardon the pun, garden variety greenhouse. This is probably 80 feet long. And
I'm telling you, it's a different America from the one I grew up in. You know,
well,
and
the state, of course, won't. The counties tried to declare a state of emergency, but the governor won't let them because it's marijuana, and you know,
it's legal,
and that's wonderful. Even though they're totally breaking the law, because the way the law reads, the county sets the ordinance. So. And they've said no outdoor growing. So anyway, that's just part of the fun we're having.
Oh,
but
well,
those might
know,
be things you don't hear over on your in your
we
world.
We got guys like that all over the place here in New York. You know, we got a governor and a mayor who don't believe that government's duty is to keep the peace. It's just unbelievable.
Down where we just were, the district attorney has decided that she's not prosecuting looters if they actually needed the stuff.
Let that soak in for a moment while we take a really quick break.
We'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Myron Magnet, and you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
We're back. All right. So we figured out that all the fires aren't started by climate change, that some of them are started by lightning, but illegal dope growing is bad for the people who've got to live there.
And never heard of by we guys out east.
Isn't that great? Well, I grew up in Connecticut, so I know how there is no news that goes that way. I know all about that because I never knew anything about out here till I was out here.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. Listen, I wanted to talk to you about a book I wrote about 6 years ago called "The Founders at Home."
Yes,
it's been more and more on my mind. I wrote it because I'm a journalist, and when I want to learn about something, I write about it. That makes me sit down and read everything. And I had the sense that whatever it was that the founders set out to do was something that Americans increasingly had forgotten and didn't value. Well, this was 6 years ago, and I found, of course, that what they had come up with, what their vision was something magnificent and noble, the idea of a self-governing republic in which citizens, not subjects, not serfs, had equal rights before the law and equal opportunity. As I had come to revere what it was they had established, now suddenly we're faced with all these rioters and looters in the streets tearing down statues. We've got my hometown paper, the New York Times, and its 1619 Project trying to tell you that the country wasn't actually founded in 1776. It was founded by slavery and the whole purpose of what the Founding Fathers did was to preserve slavery, one of the most ridiculous lies that it is possible to imagine. We've got critical race theory everywhere. I think you're going to talk to my colleague Chris Rufo about it.
I want to, but I haven't.
Oh, you haven't got him yet.
Found him yet. How's that?
You'll find him. So suddenly there is this idea that the American past is kind of shameful and obscene. Now, in the name of Black Lives Matter, we have not only statues of very great men who happened to be slave owners, like Washington and Madison and Jefferson, getting torn down, but even Ulysses S. Grant, you know, who won the Civil War and who oversaw Reconstruction with a kind of passion that nobody really knew he had in him. So we're living through now a period not only of ignorance, but of flat-out lies. And I've been sort of moved to get back on the stump and say, look, here's what the founders actually did, and here's what the American idea actually is, and it is something that is really very, very noble. And at the heart of it is the idea of individual liberty. And it's funny, you know, we think of the Plymouth Pilgrims as having come here for freedom of conscience, freedom of belief. But they were one of just many, many sects. Those folks in Massachusetts just were a handful of those who came for precisely the same reason. You know, toward the end of the 17th century, it was pretty much illegal in England to be a Protestant who wasn't a member of the Church of England. And there were all kinds of disabilities. You couldn't go to one of the universities. You couldn't hold public office. You couldn't hold public worship. You had to pay tithes to the Anglican Church. And so in response to that, droves of Presbyterians and Congregationalists and Quakers and what have you picked up and left and came to America, and they did it for freedom of conscience. The same is true of the Huguenots in France and the Protestants in the Catholic parts of Germany. You know, so you have, for instance, Chief Justice, our first Chief Justice, John Jay. His biographer is his son, who writes about how John Jay's grandfather fled from Rochelle in France because France had removed its toleration of Protestants and had seized all the houses of their neighbors and seized their savings and torn down their church. And John Jay's grandfather was lucky to escape with his life. He managed to sneak on board a ship and get to America. And there are just countless stories like this of people whose ancestors came here for liberty of conscience, liberty to believe what they actually believe, to believe what their reason showed them was the truth. And, you know, let me stay with this thought for a minute. The ideas that finally bore fruit of the American Revolution percolated for some decades before the Declaration of Independence actually got written, and one of the principal intellectuals of the 1750s was William Livingston, who later was the longtime governor of New Jersey, served in the Continental Congress, and was a signer of the Constitution. And in this very influential magazine that he ran in the 1750s, he drew attention to the fact that so many of the American settlers had come here for liberty of conscience, for liberty of belief, and his own grandfather was one of them. His own grandfather was a Scottish Presbyterian who had escaped the disabilities against non-Anglican Protestants. So this was so influential that 20 years later, young James Madison and his classmates were still reading these articles at Princeton, which was whose president was the Scottish Presbyterian emigre John Witherspoon. I mean, it's amazing how close this circle was. And how did Madison, the architect of the Constitution, get into politics? Well, when he was, you know, he just graduated from Princeton, and he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do, and suddenly the neighboring county to his in Virginia arrested a gang of Presbyterian ministers for preaching or for publishing unorthodox religious writings. And they put him in jail. And Madison was so outraged by this that he started speaking and writing against it. He said, imagine, he said, put in jail for your beliefs. He said, if you're not free to believe what your reason shows you is true and to say that, then you're not free at all, because freedom is unitary and inseparable, you know. And as so many have said, the ultimate freedom is the freedom to be free in your own soul, to think and believe your own thoughts.
I think that's widely believed to be blasphemy at the present time. Let's take a really quick break, and we will launch on that one, because it's true.
We're not allowed to have our own thoughts.
We're back.
No kidding. It's crazy. Our guest is Myron Magnet. We haven't chatted with him for a while. You can find everything about him and previous show we've done with him at wethepeopleradio.us.
Couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill. You can keep your pills, friend. It's all going to pot. I got $100 bill. You can keep your pills, friend, cause it's all going to pot.
From the smoke of a distant fire.
From the smoke of a distant fire.
Eyes have a mist from the smoke of a distant fire.
I just wanted you to feel like you're actually here with us. Because, I mean, we have the...
I can smell it and hear the crackle already.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You know, the reason I started my book in 1735 is that, in a way, you know, the American Revolution, in some sense, started there with the trial in New York of John Peter Zenger, who was a printer, who was charged with seditious libel for printing a newspaper with an article very strenuously criticizing the royal governor of the colony of New York. A brilliant Philadelphia lawyer named Andrew Hamilton came and defended him and said, listen, here in America, we are free to criticize what we consider to be tyrannical and unjust behavior. And what could be more tyrannical and unjust than not allowing us to complain publicly, not allowing us free speech and a free press to complain about political abuses. So this has been a theme that goes back in American thought for, you know, almost three centuries now. And now we're in the age of deplatforming and cancel culture, and you know, my own Manhattan Institute colleagues get shouted down when they appear at colleges from Vermont to California.
Isn't that something?
We are in a time now where we are told that not only are the things we say microaggressions and therefore sinful and quasi-criminal, but thoughts we don't even know we're thinking are privileged and inherently racist because of the color of our skin, and we can't say them. There was this very interesting Cato poll a while ago showing that 62% of respondents would be unwilling to state to close friends and family their real political beliefs. Well, how can you have a democratic republic in which we're supposed to proceed by reasoned debate in the legislature in order to compromise and legislate for the people, if you can't discuss openly and criticize openly ideas of all kinds, but especially political ideas? I mean, that's what the First Amendment was all about. But we've come to the point now where people lose their jobs in universities for saying something that can be construed as racist or sexist or genderist, which really isn't. You saw that guy. Now we're talking about the Los Angeles Museum of Modern Art, right? So the curator there says, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to keep buying stuff by white male artists. He was saying, of course, I'm going to buy stuff by everybody, but, yeah, I'm going to keep on buying stuff by white male artists, too. And he lost his job,
yeah.
Right? I mean, this was...
Yeah,
this
you can't say a lot of stuff in the public square anymore without threat of losing your job and nowadays threat of attack. I mean,
physical
attack. Yeah,
absolutely. Look at that guy at Google who just put up on the company message board. Listen, he said, we got a really terrific culture here in this company, but it's important for us because we're, sort of technical people and quasi-scientific people. We got to keep the spirit of inquiry alive here. So we can't just take it as granted that the reason that women are underrepresented in computer engineering is because of discrimination. We have to at least ask the question of could there be any other reasons? He said, I don't have an opinion about this. I don't have an answer to the question, but it's a question that we ought to be allowed to ask, and you have the feeling in at Google that, no, you can't ask it. Well, guess what? He lost his job. And these people not only lose their jobs, but, of course, then they're blacklisted. They can't get jobs elsewhere. So there's something... there's something really sinister going on in America just now with this cancel culture. It could not be more radically anti-American, could not be more radically against what this country stood for, and it could not be more completely an embodiment of precisely that tyranny which the Founding Fathers fought a revolutionary war to rebel against and to abolish. So, I mean, that's what I mean when I say we've come full circle. There's another part of the Founding Fathers' dedication to liberty that I think is really important and that we need to remember and to hold on to and use as a kind of yardstick to measure where we are right now. They were disciples of the political theorist John Locke, 17th century English political theorist. And one of the what Locke believed is that men formed society, and incidentally, for you sensitive listeners, when I say men, I mean humankind, right? I'm being all inclusive here. Men
I forgot formed, about that. Men, yeah, men, you still know men, that. We're old.
men formed society because without society, there is no protection for your life, liberty, or property. All of which Locke and his, you know, a whole school of political philosophers believed you had a natural right to. You know, that as Thomas Jefferson later put it, kings are the servants, not the proprietors of the people. So the first thing to note is that if we founded society for the protection of life and liberty and property, that means that the first civil right, that is to say, a right guaranteed by government, is the right to safety. And so all these calls now of defund the police, what essentially they're saying is abolish government. And, you know, and you can see in Seattle and Portland, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, what you're looking at is just pure anarchism. And it's no wonder that everything is getting burned down there, and it's no wonder that people have been injured and even murdered. This is what things look like without government. And that protection of property is key, too. And this was something that Madison worried about a lot in framing the Constitution and in explaining it in the Federalist Papers. We all, or at least in my generation, used to know that the Founding Fathers were worried about the tyranny of the majority, that they were worried that if they formed a democratic republic, it might be that the majority could find some way to tyrannize over the minority, that there could be such a thing as what Constitution signer Richard Henry Lee called an elective despotism, like Mr. Newsom's California.
Mm-hmm.
But Madison said, okay, but I mean, well, what form would the tyranny of the majority most likely take? And he said, well, you know, if we're going to have a government that protects liberty, that means that we're going to leave people free to pursue their own happiness in their own way, and people have different talents and different tastes, and the result is going to be that people end up being really different. And they're going to be really different in terms of their possessions. There's going to be farmers, there's going to be industrialists, there's going to be merchants, and there's going to be rich and there's going to be poor. And there are going to be many more people without property than people with it. So the way the tyranny of the majority is most likely to manifest itself, said James Madison in Federalist 10, is that the unpropertied many will take away the property of the rich few, and they will do it either by unjust taxation or they will do it by inflation so that the debts that people owe will actually be worth much less than what they borrowed. They will do it by a cry for the common ownership of property, which actually happened in Chase's Rebellion just after the end of the Revolutionary War. That's what the demand of those farmers in Massachusetts was. Or some other wicked and improper scheme, said Madison. So I think it's important for us to remember that although since the New Deal and the great society, we have come to think of the function of government as being the redistribution of property by taxation. This is not the full realization of the Founders' Constitution. This is the repudiation of it. One of the things that I'm looking at in New York right now...
Hold that thought, because that's a big topic. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back, because, you're having a fire of your own.
We sure are.
We get to follow that out here, too.
Yeah.
Our guest is Myron Magnet. You are listening to We the People, and you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
I find it kind of sad. The dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Mad world.
Remember who we are. There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started long ago. Now we have come so far. We keep our faith when there's no way out. Where there's
so if your book ever becomes a musical, you might want to use that one.
I'm going to play Benjamin Franklin.
You could do the you could do the Hamilton that should have been done instead of that other one.
I love that Alexander Hamilton. I'm telling you, I went. I was at the National Gallery in Washington a while ago, and I was standing between a portrait on one side of Alexander Hamilton and on the other side John Jay, two New Yorkers like me, both of them Columbia College guys like me. So I just asked some passerby please to take a picture of the three of us. And you know, the thing about Alexander Hamilton is that you guys know about the financial system that he set up. But, one question that you might want to ask, you might want to say, well, this economic liberty that the founders were on about, isn't there something kind of sordid about that? And Alexander Hamilton would say, that's absolutely wrong. He said, I'm an illegitimate immigrant from the West Indies. I mean, really, really, that's true. He was. I came from nothing, and there I was on my crummy little island of St. Croix in the West Indies, getting nowhere. And now here I am in this wonderful country, and the thing about having a country where you have a financial system that can bring forth all of the resources of the country is that you have a multiplicity of occupations at which people can work, and they can find that which is congenial to them, which calls forth all their talents, all their energies, which allows them to realize their potential, which in a place where there were only very limited opportunities, they couldn't do, and they would just kind of go to molder and rust and go to the grave unrealized. So, I mean, Hamilton's justification of a free market economy is moral in the most profound sense, and in to my mind, it is the most beautiful justification of free market economics that there's ever been. Now, I started to talk about New York before the break, and I know we have only a tiny minute, but, you know, they have everything upside down here. The New York State Legislature has basically decriminalized crime.
Yeah, we're having that here, too.
Yes, you are. And I mean, and we got all these crazy district attorneys and attorney generals everywhere. You got this case of Boudin there. I mean, the guy's a nut. You know, it's just, it's totally, totally, crime is crime.
Yeah.
The you know, and if you are not willing, and this is my beef with New York, here they have, you know, they won't put anybody in. They cleaned out the jails because of COVID. They won't put anybody in jail because the state legislature has abolished bail, so you have to release somebody on his own recognizance unless he's committed first-degree murder, basically. Now, guess what? They have a new discovery bill out so that the defense attorney has to be given the names and contact info of all the witnesses.
Yeah,
so guess how many witnesses are going to be
exactly.
coming forward?
That's
right?
Brilliant.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. So crime, you know, crime is double and triple what it was last year. We're going back to the terrible days of 1991 when we had for the entire year of 1991, on average, one murder every 4 hours every single day of 1991.
Wow.
In New York City. So these guys are not doing what it is that government was instituted to do, and yet they are laying the most crushing taxes on New Yorkers, which are driving out even those who would be willing to stay. And that is another really important thing that the founders understood, and that was that, okay, you set up government and you give it power to keep you safe by punishing offenders with force. But remember that the same fallen human nature that puts your life, liberty, and property in danger from bad people, right? That same human nature is shared by everybody, including people who are going to run for office and get elected. So you have to be careful that the people who govern you don't, for love of their own power, and out of an impulse to oppress and lord it over others, that they don't turn into a tyranny also. And that's what we've got in New York. We've got these people dictating, you know, when we're going to open this and when we're going to open that, and meanwhile laying these enormous taxes on it, and the third, meanwhile, not enforcing the criminal laws and releasing not only criminals but crazy people and dope addicts and sex offenders, and putting them up in empty hotels in my neighborhood for $350 a night per room, paid for by the taxpayers. Well, what is wrong with this picture, Aaron?
Exactly.
And Bill?
Well, they did that out here,
exactly,
and it turned out they
backwards.
Were running illegal drug operations out of there.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge
just
disaster out here.
Unbelievable.
What a shocker.
We have things going on the street here that I would blush to say it is a depth of degradation below what I thought possible. I mean, you are ashamed of humanity to see this stuff.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable that there. I mean, 25 years ago, did you ever believe we would be looking at some of this crazy stuff that's we're actually living through right now?
No,
it wasn't even fathomable. You would have put money that this would never have happened.
Oh, you know, some of this stuff. I mean, when I was running City Journal, there was stuff that I thought, oh, there's no point in arguing against it. It's so completely stupid that nobody in his right mind could believe it. And now I'm gonna, you know, get you a whole lot of hate mail. But I thought, excuse me, global warming.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We don't have to argue against that. That's ridiculous. Climate has changed through all of history. We have the records of it. You know, once we had a little ice age. By the way, during the Revolutionary War, New York Harbor froze so hard that ox carts could wheel cannon across New York Harbor. You know, sometimes we have cold periods, sometimes we have hot periods, and so we have a dust bowl like in the Depression. So this is the way things go. And the other thing I thought is gay marriage. That's ridiculous. There can't be such a thing as gay marriage. We're not even going to argue against it. Well, ha, ha, ha. So yeah. Did I ever think
Surprise.
25 years ago? No, Bill. I most certainly did. In fact, quite the reverse. I thought, why am I going to waste a writer's time to write against something that is just pure damn foolishness?
Well, let's just not put too fine a point on it. How about more than two genders?
Oh, I mean, you know, anyway, gender is a quality of nouns, not people.
Well, you still, as a man, you still have the right to be pregnant, though.
I mean, and to get an abortion.
And get an abortion, yeah, exactly.
Gee, Merry Christmas.
And I intend to make the taxpayers of New York pay for it, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we have you on next time, we're going to play the clip from that old Monty Python skit, you know, or Life of Brian, where he, you know, I'm going to have a baby. It's like, I mean,
we laughed about that
in the 70s, and it's like, oh, my God, it's true.
I've got to make the taxpayers pay for my sex change operation, and then I've got to make them pay for my abortion.
Yeah, right. we just slayed the engineering room. They're all down. Well, but before we run out of time, I just wanted to let people know that obviously there was not enough time here, and yes, there was some foolishness. I'll apologize for that, but we're going to have
foolishness. Is why I like to talk to you.
We have to have foolishness, otherwise it's just too hard. It feels like the locusts are right around the corner. If you can't get have a little fun, but we're gonna have you on again. I double checked that during the break, so we're gonna hammer out of time. But sometime in the next few weeks
we'll
or so, we were gonna do this again because an hour with you is never enough. And
let's remind everybody of the name of the book, The Founders at Home, The Building of America, 1735 to 1817. In which I tell the story of the American founding,
and we have
a series of concise biographies that take us from the Zenger libel trial right through the end of James Madison.
And the news is going to cut us off and tell us something silly. But thank you, Myron Magnet. We will have you on shortly. You've been listening to We the People. We'll be right back. We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.